Thanks for downloading ThistlePod. Our podcasts take us back into our NPR programme archive to remember some of the great visits we've enjoyed with artists who helped define the sound of today's music from Celtic roots. This time, it's songwriter and song interpreter, guitarist and a well-loved radio broadcaster, Archie Fisher.
Given that I'm not a prolific recording artist, I find it a very severe mirror, the recording studio. The last album took 20 years to do, in fact.
You were very busy on the radio as well, though, at that time.
I knew that was right. Somebody said that. You know, after 27 years on radio, I've got a lot of road time to make up.
That's right.
And I've been touring this year with Garnet Rogers in the States and James Keelahan in Canada. So I've got a couple of road buddies and it makes it so much easier.
Yes, definitely. And people can enjoy that. And they get a bit more of a fuller flavour of your personality when you've got someone to bounce off on stage. Your musical personality as well as you on stage. But you've always had a great following in the United States and Canada because you've attended to your audience over there and gone over periodically. But also your music sits very well among the folk music singer-songwriter, man with guitar and tradition bearers in the US.
Yeah, it's so surprising in a way because looking back to the 60s and before the 60s, it was Americana and Appalachian music that actually inspired most of the young Scottish musicians of the time. We loved the instrumentalism of it. We didn't pay much attention to the content of the words. They were just nice little bits and pieces of ballads, mostly murder ballads. And it's almost gone full circle in a way. I'm using a mandolin and fiddle on my new album that sounds more American than Scottish. And I'm using Mountain Dulcimer and another American textures because these were the things that first attracted me to music. I wasn't going to be a singer, I was just going to be a musician because I had all these talented sisters to accompany. So in a way, I'll probably end up doing an Americana album or a Scots-Americana album.
Now that I'm older, though I'm not old enough to know what it is to be lonely, what it is to be without a home, I've a friend nearby who loves me, rain or shine, don't ask me why, but her younger eyes are so much older eyes than mine. Thought I was well read, wouldn't have to ask her for a lead. Till a red but her eyes said, then I knew there was nothing more to read, nothing more to do, and nothing more to say, but give all my words away to someone who needs them but can't find a girl like you. First to see the morning star. There were others before me, for the sounds of beauty travel far. I hear it loud and clear, and it rings like a silver coin thrown down on stone. Though I'm lost in a crowd, I know you're around me somehow. I hear it loud and clear, and it rings like a silver coin thrown down on stone. Though I'm lost in a crowd, I know you're around me somehow.
in many ways, we in Scotland and in Britain in general seem to be more aware of the Americana culture before America became aware, because it went through quite a manicured folk revival where there was slick little trios and suits.
Over in the States.
Yeah, and the Mary, Peter, Paul and Mary close harmony stuff. Well, we were listening to people like Buell Kazee and Aunt Samantha Bumgardner and all these strange people that were on folk, obscure folk labels and trying to pick up their instrumental techniques and guitar and banjo.
So was that coming back to you on radio, or was it albums that people were bringing over and that you're being able to get a hold of? And number one question. Number two, when you heard it, did you hear it for what it was alone, or did you feel some musical connection to it from your own traditions?
If there was some kind of subliminal identity with it, I wasn't quite sure at the time. But we also had quite a few Americans in Scotland then, because we had the Proteus, a nuclear submarine base down in the Clyde, and there was quite a few American musicians around. Hamish Himmler knew quite a few of them for some reason. I don't know why. I think they drank in the same pubs as he did. And quite often I'd go back to Hamish's, and there was a guy from Tennessee singing John Hardy or something like that in the house. So we had a face-to-face thing with it as well. And of course, skiffle, which was the popular music of the time, had the big American influence as well. So that's what we were subjected to. It took quite a few years for us to become aware of our own culture and music, and that was an unaccompanied style of singing. Mm-hmm. It was very little instrumental backing on it. So what eventually happened was the grafting of these two cultures together to Robin Hall and Jimmy McGregor spread, because of the television exposure, spread a lot of the music out that you could accompany it on mandolin and guitar. So you had this hybrid.
So the folk revival that was happening in the US, that really was mirrored over here almost as an American import. And then, as you say, it fused with our own older traditions that had been bubbling along with people like Jeannie Robertson and others, and collectors like Hamish Henderson, and the two sort of fused.
And it became very televisible. There was a series of television programmes on BBC Two and BBC One, the Hootenanny Show and folk music programmes on all the networks. And, of course, it was somebody with a guitar and maybe a fiddle later on. So that became the image, and that's what people wanted to do and wanted to play. Mm-hmm. And there was no real boundaries in terms of singing your own music from your own culture. You could do anything you wanted to. And that was quite liberating. And then, slowly but surely, I mean, I was very fortunate to be alive during the time when Lizzie Higgins, Jeannie Robertson, old Davy Stewart, Willie Scott, Jimmy McBeath were all not just alive, but performing mm-hmm. at their peak. Mm. So I was able to see and share the stage with people like that. And they weren't just archive obscure singers, they were performers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a real dynamic on stage.
And they were tapped into something very ancient and very much of our culture.
Yeah.
Did they embrace, and were they comfortable sitting alongside music that was, you know, more imported over from the US, or did they kind of find that was a bit of an intrusion on their style and their tradition?
He never heard the recording of Jeannie Robertson yodeling.
I think that answers
it. She sang a Jimmy Rogers song once, I remember. I don't know, she never recorded it, but I think she sang it at a concert, mm-hmm. and it had a yodelahi, yodelahi, yodelahi. And also Jimmy Macbeth once stood up on the stage at the folk festival and pronounced that this was an ancient fife song, and sang Pit and Weem Joe, which was written by John Watt in 1962 or something. So they integrated it, because that, obviously that's, as a continuum, that's what's been happening with the music before.
Adam Cameron is my name, I'm second son to Boynie. My brother John, he heirs the land, and a soldier now you'll find me. Parting with my bonnie love, her hand in mine was locked, and for to drive dull care away, I spoke as if I joked. It's farewell, Cameron, step abroad. Though you say I'm your charmer, I've kept the best part to myself, and I'll wed some brisk young farmer. Since you have kept the part from me, for which I've long been searching, the fife's to play a merry tune, and the drums beat loud for marching.
So boldly I ate it, step away to go on to Dumbarton. And I had on my Highland dress as lieutenant to the captain. The lad I had along with me was her young brother Tammy. And I, when he did smile on me, he minded me, oh Annie. Soon after this a letter came from Annie as a token. It was to show and let me know that the bonds of love were broken. A letter from my brother came, with post haste it was carried. But again I were a living man to come and see him married. While reading it, her brother came to ask me for a furlough, to go and see his sister wed. He wished to leave tomorrow. And when I heard young Tammy's words, well then, but I was weary. Who was to be my brother's wife, but just my only dear? I said, you may not go alone, but it would sad offend me. But you must stay and drive the coach for me and Captain Finley. So we drove on and further on, it's homeward bound, you'll find me. And there I met my bonnie love beneath the braes o' Boyne. Could you love a sodger noo? Could you lie down ayont me? Could you forsake your new sweetheart, my dear love and gangway? I could love a sodger noo, and I lie down ayont ye. There was ne'er than for a mother's son, my love, than I'll do for you. The darkest door o' any night, if you wed me, I'll tend you. Here's Captain Finley will make us one, and I will aye defend you. I laid my broadsword across our knees, and clasped our right hands over. And Captain Finley has made us one, my husband now and love.
From our radio archive, remembering a great visit with Archie Fisher. At thistleradio.com, you can find a playlist of this Thistle Pod. NPR's The Thistle and Shamrock airs radio like this each and every week. Find out how to tune in to public radio and stream our 24/7 music channel at thistleradio.com. I'm Fiona Ritchie. Thanks for joining me.